This is Susan B. Brock, Telluride Inside and Out, and I'm speaking with Kim Wilson. You probably know his name if you've been listening to blues for any number of years. His group, the Fabulous Thunderbirds, is performing New Year's Eve at the Sheridan Opera House. You're going to hear a large dose on New Year's Eve of Texas Roadhouse blues. Kim, thanks for joining me.
You're welcome.
So you've been going strong, as I mentioned just now, for 40 years, four decades. Could you describe in brief the evolution of the Thunderbirds? How did it all get going? And what was your sound when you first started out? And what is it today?
Well, when we started out, it was a pretty much straight blues. You know, it was very traditional, but it was our own take on things.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a lot of attitude to it. I would say at that time, there was some skill involved, but I think it was the attitude was it's the selling point. As we progressed, quote unquote, I think that we fell into more of a rock and roll kind of thing, a la Chuck Berry and people like that,
mm-hmm.
and bringing some more different musical influences to it, like Cajun, a little country, a little R&B started coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time we got to recording Tough Enough in, I don't know what year that was, but we were kind of ready. We've been around, you know, we've been playing in front of a lot of people, and a lot of people were ready for something by us, and consequently, we had a big hit record right then.
Right.
But,
it was 1986. I just checked my notes.
Yeah. So that's not when it was recorded, though. It took a while to get that record out.
Ah. Oh, okay.
It was a very strange business venture for us and the label. You know, wasn't the normal signing. A label was actually created for us within the Epic CBS Columbia group there at that time, and Tony Martell, who's a very generous man, created a label just for us, thinking that he could sell it, and they could sell it, and we were able to we had some charts, we had some charting songs and charted album, and a couple more after that. It was a very nice association with that company. You know, I think when it became Sony, it became a little more impersonal.
Okay.
So consequently, that was the end of it after the fourth record. Then we moved on to a couple of other labels, had some success there as well. And now, you know, we just signed a new deal, moving on up the line here to the present and the future, is with Severn Records there in Annapolis, Maryland. We're very happy about it. And I'm able to have two of my projects, Thunderbirds being one of them, and also the Blues All-Stars mm-hmm. on the same label, which is a very nice thing for me. So I'm very, very happy about that. I really like the president of the label there, David Earle. I have a great rapport with him, and it's a very personal thing. It's not a big, big business thing. It's not a real huge corporate thing. You know what I mean? So it's I'm very happy about that.
Okay. Now, you have had over the years a very special relationship with Muddy Waters, who's a legend. How did that come about, and what was that relationship?
Well, he saw me play in Austin. We were on a show with him, and that was really the beginning of it, the very first night. There were a lot of words exchanged at that time, but I ended up staying with the Thunderbirds. I think that was a good move for me. I mean, there was a job offer laid on me by him by then. But I think that the fact that I didn't work with Muddy Waters in a formal fashion, I think it was made our relationship even better. And he was really like a father to me. I love my own father, of course, but he was like a second father, like a musical father to me. And I was had some very, very candid moments with Muddy Waters, special moments between him and myself. You know, we had, he really liked what I did. And he said a lot of great things about me to the press and to the world in general.
Yes, he has.
I think he kind of handed the reins over to me as far as, at least I thought at that time that's what was happening. But, of course, I was a very young person at that time. I was still only 24 years old when he was saying this kind of stuff in the beginning.
Yeah.
And we had a very great relationship until he died. And he died young. He died, I think he was 69.
Wow.
Which was, that was a shame because I would have loved for him to see how my music has progressed over the years. That's my main regret about all these guys. I play with just about everybody. And, now I'm playing with, other people. I'm playing with people like Mark Knopfler, Kid Rock, Eric Clapton,
wow,
Raphael Sadiq, Bonnie Raitt. I'm playing on all these records. And, which is great. But I really have to thank Muddy Waters for setting me up for these kind of calls.
Okay.
He kind of handed the title over to me,
He certainly did. I've read some of the things he said about you, and, the simplest statement he made is that you're his favorite harmonica player ever. So that's pretty strong. So you have, from your unique perspective, Kim, as the only continuing member of the Thunderbirds, could you sort of latch on to what is positive about having worked with and continuing to work with different players over the years? And what have been some of the particular challenges?
Well, I don't think that the challenges, to start off on a negative note, have been that a lot of these lineups look better on paper than they did in real life. And I think that they're all world-class musicians, every guy that I've worked with. I think that, I think it's just a chemistry thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you don't know a person until you live with them, just like in normal life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that some people were on different agendas, and some people actually changed in the process of developing the band, changed from what they were when you first hired them. And some people realized that they were band leaders in their own right, and they didn't want to be sidemen. So all that take into consideration, I think that everything else is very, very positive. The music is always fresh.
Mm-hmm.
The people that I have are very, very creative, especially the people now are very, very creative. They really have their own take on things,
mm-hmm,
which is very, very important. It really kind of transcends blues music because there's so many different influences, musical influences involved in the Thunderbirds music. And,
okay.
At the same time, we've kind of come full circle and play a lot of blues in our set. Now, you can go out, one negative side has been you can go get people who are great at the contemporary thing, but they can't play blues. Well, that's a difficult hurdle.
Yeah.
If you can get blues people who are open-minded about musical influences and modern music, which the guys that I have now are,
mm-hmm,
and very creative, you can have the best of all worlds.
Okay.
And that was the idea from the very beginning, a hybrid of all American music. That's cool anyway,
Okay.
And, there you go.
Thank you. Well, very, very, very clear. Very clear. So now, have you been to Telluride before? Have you performed here? And if yes, what was your reaction to the place? And if not, what are you looking forward to most about coming to town for New Year's Eve?
Well, it's one of the most beautiful places on earth. The only problem is getting there.
I take it you've... Okay, so we know now you've been here before.
I'm not crazy about taking that little airplane over the mountains. I don't enjoy that. So I'm flying into... Is it Fort Collins?
Or Durango, or I'm not sure where.
I'm not sure where, but it's, I'm driving in a couple hours from where I'm flying to because I can't... I you know, the last time I flew in a Telluride, I was flying it with A.J. Croce, and it was a very rough flight. So you can imagine what that flight was like. His dad died in a plane crash.
Oh,
well,
Lord.
I wasn't really crazy about seeing Nowhere to Land. I'm on an airplane constantly. But once I got there, it was beautiful. I may need a little oxygen, but I really enjoyed being there. In fact, I'm staying an extra day. I like, you know, and I'm just going to take in the sights, and I'm looking forward to that.
Great. And very briefly, can you give us a sort of a teaser about what your set will be like New Year's Eve?
Well, the set is totally improvised. The set is kind of gauged to the audience on the spot. You know, I never have a set list.
Okay.
Some people don't like that. But I have to have things fresh all the time. I can't play the same set every night. I wouldn't be in this business if I was relegated to any certain set list. Of course, you're going to hear Tough Enough. You're going to hear Wrap It Up. You're going to hear other things from the past, but you're going to hear things from the present and the future, and you're probably going to hear a couple things that the band doesn't even know I'm going to call off. So that's always nice. You're going to hear a lot of stuff off the new CD that's in progress right now. And you're also going to hear some great musicians, some real great young world-class musicians that the world needs to know about because they're very, very great musicians.
Okay. Well, thank you very, very much for taking time out of your schedule to talk with me. And we all look forward to hearing you on New Year's Eve. So I've been speaking with Kim Wilson, a founding member of the Fabulous Thunderbirds.
I can't think of a better place. You know, I can't think of a better place to ring it in than Telluride. It's a pretty cool.
Perfect.
It's one of the cooler gigs I've had on New Year's.
Wonderful. Enough said. This has been Susan Diebrock, Telluride Inside and Out. You heard it from Kim Wilson. New Year's Eve in Telluride, Fabulous Thunderbirds, and Can Heat at the historic Sheridan Opera House. Kim, thanks again for joining me.
Pleasure.